'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah.
His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you.
when the darkness falls, it won't prevail. Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the see you.
happy Sunday. We welcome you to stand with us as we worship. Those of you watching from home, we welcome you to stand and worship with us too. Doesn't matter if you're in your kitchen or living room. Come on, let's praise him.
Sometimes you gotta dance through the darkness, sing through the fire, praise when it don't make sense. Sometimes you gotta stand on the giant, worship from the lion's den. Sometimes you gotta shout from the mountain, louder in the valley, trusting that he's gonna get you there. Sometimes you gotta welcome the wonder, wave on the answer, worship with your hands in the air. I'll praise you anywhere.
Praise, give a praise, give a praise.
Come on,
in the highest. Praise, give a praise, in the praise, in the highest. He is worthy. Yes, he is worthy of all of the praise.
Sometimes you gotta praise in the prison, cry out to heaven, shout till the doors swing wide. Sometimes you gotta stand on your shackles, brave in the battle, worship with your hands held high. I'll praise you anywhere.
Praise, give a praise, give a praise. In the highest, praise, give him praise, give him praise. In the highest, he is worthy. Yes, he is worthy of all of the praise. Give him praise, give him praise. In the highest, praise, give him praise, give him praise. In the highest, he is worthy. Yes, he is worthy of all of the praise.
I want you to put your hands together. Come on. Y'all ready to worship in this place? Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on. Hey. Lord, we bless you. We thank you for your presence in this house. And we glorify you, God.
Faithful all my life, blessings day and night, countless reasons why. I'll raise you anywhere. Every promise kept, goodness every step, each and every breath.
Come on, say, hey.
Faithful all my life, blessings day and night, countless reasons why. I'll praise you anywhere.
Every promise, yeah,
goodness, every step, each and every breath. I'll praise you anywhere. Praise, give him praise, give him praise. In the highest, praise, give him praise, give him praise. In the highest, he is worthy. Yes, he is worthy of all of the praise.
Galatians 3:13 says, the one that hangs on a tree is cursed. But Jesus freely became a curse so that he could free us. So whatever stronghold you may be suffering with, he can break through that. Whatever trial, tribulation, speak the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Holy name, Jesus.
every stronghold shine through the shell. Burn like a fire.
Your name is power.
Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Come on, somebody shout like you got the victory in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. At this time in the service, we'd like to welcome our prayer partners up front. And if you're in need of prayer, we'd like to welcome you and pray and agree with you in the mighty name of Jesus. Don't be shy. Come forward. Amen.
I will live for the moments where I'm still in your presence and all noise dies down. Lord, speak to me now. You have all my attention. I will linger and listen. I can't miss a thing. So I know my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new. So I surrender all. And all I want is to live within your love and be undone by who you are. My desire is to know you deeper. Lord, I will open up again, throw my fears into the wind. I am desperate for a touch of heaven. Whoa, 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 whoa. You're the fire in the morning, and you're the cool in the evening, the breath in my soul, you're the life in my bones. There is no hesitation in your love and affection. It's the sweetest of all. Lord, I know my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new. So I surrender all. And all I want is to live undone by who you are. My desire is to know you deeper. Lord, I will open up again, throw my fears into the wind. I am desperate for a touch of heaven. Whoa, whoa.
My heart to you now. So do what only you can. Jesus, have your way in me now. I open up my heart to you. I open up my heart to you now. So do what only you can. Jesus, have your way in me now. be undone by who you are. My desire is to know you deeper. Lord, I will open up again, throw my fears into the wind. I am desperate for a touch of heaven.
Lord, we seek you with all that we are. We open our hearts, God, to receive more of you, less of us and more of you, God. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives. We thank you, God, that we can call on you. And God, we love you, so we offer ourselves as a sacrifice unto you, God. We worship you. Come on.
All my love, all my love, you can have it all. All my love, all my love, all my love, you can have it all. All my heart, all my soul, all I own, you can have it all. All my heart, all my soul, all I own, you can have it all. All my love, all my love, all my love, you can have it all. All my love, all my love, all my love, you can have it all. All my heart, all my soul, all my own, you can have it all.
Forever, God. You're awesome forever, God. You're magnificent forever. There was no one like you in all the earth. You are holy forever, God. You are holy forever. The angels cry, holy, holy, holy. The angels cry, holy, holy, holy. The train of your robe fills the temple with glory. The angels cry, holy, holy, holy. You are worthy forever, God. You are high and lifted up forever. Your train fills this room. Your train fills this room. Victory after victory after victory belongs to you, God. Every victory that you've won adds more to your train. Every victory that you've won adds more glory to your train. You've never lost a battle, God. You have a 100% win record, God. You have a 100% win record. No failure is in you, God. No failure is in you, God. No failure is in you, God. So we worship you forever. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name is worthy to be praised. You are matchless, God. Hey, and we give you glory. Hey, honor you in this place, God. We honor you in this place, God.
All I want is to live within your love, be undone by who you are. My desire is to know you deeper. Lord, I will open up again and roll my fears into the wind. I am desperate for a touch from heaven.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hold forever. You are indeed holy forever. Holy forever. This is the generation that will praise your name. O God of Jacob. This is the generation that will lift up clean hands and a pure heart. Who will not lift their soul to vanity. That will receive a blessing from the Lord. This is the generation that will worship you. You in this place. Here we go.
A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all have gone before us, all will believe. We'll sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if you've been forgiven, and if you've been oh, sing a song forever to the Lamb. And if you walk in freedom, and if you bear his name, oh, sing a song forever to the Lamb. Oh,
we'll sing the song forever and
amen.
And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, King of Kings, holy, you will always be holy, hey, holy forever. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all. We cry, Jesus, your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name
stand above them all,
and the angels cry,
holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. People sing, holy,
holy
to the King of Kings. Yeah, yeah,
holy,
and you will always be holy, holy forever. You will always be.
Magnify you in this place, all honor and glory, Lord. Everything we are, everything we own, everything we can do, it's yours, it's yours. We offer it with willing hearts, with willing hearts. We offer our lives to you, Lord. Glorify your name in all the earth. We glorify your name in all the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, so many times when we feel far from the Lord, and we try to think of ways to draw close to Him, and one of the first ways we do is we think of what we should stop doing, or what we're doing wrong. But you know, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And I was reading Psalm 60 this morning. And David just would come before the Lord and he'd say, my heart longs for you. My soul yearns for you. He says, your unfailing love is better than my life. And that is what got God to draw close to him. Not his perfect deeds, not giving up this and giving up that. It was his total surrender to God and a longing for more of God. And I sense that in this place. I sense a hunger for more of the things of God. If you're hungry for more of the things of God, just before Him, just lift your hands. Father, we want more of you and less of us. We want to walk with you. We want to talk with you. We want to hear your voice. We want to follow you. We want you to lead us through each day of our lives, Lord. Thank you that you are our strength, that you are our comforter. You said you're the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Thank you for your presence that is felt in this place today. I pray for each person here, Father God. May they feel your arms around them. May they feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in such a way, Father, that it brings comfort and encouragement to their soul. That it brings peace to their mind, Father God. That it gives them a hope for the future. That it gives them, that it encourages their heart right now. Thank you, Father, for your presence. There's nothing like you, no one like you in all the earth. We speak the name of Jesus over this congregation and over this gathering and over those watching. We declare freedom. We declare freedom from all bondage. We declare the angels of God are encamped around you, that the Lord fights your battles, that He is your rear guard and He goes before you and He surrounds you at all times. We declare that He is the one who is the one who gives you overwhelming victory in every area of your life. He is the one who says you can have peace in a storm. He's the one who says, I am your deliverer. I am the one who fights your battles. So we thank you, Father, right now for the peace of God the peace of God that just floods the hearts of your people. We trust you, Lord, with all we are and all we have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's nothing like the presence of God. It fills every part of you. It fills from your heart within. That's why David said, it's better than even my life. Even my life is not worth the presence of God, the love of God, the grace of God. Amen. Fills every part. Hallelujah. Man, we should just have a worship service. Praise God. Well, don't our worship team do a wonderful job leading us in the presence of God? So beautiful. Praise God. Well, won't you turn and greet someone? Say, so good to see you in church today, and you may be seated. Welcome to Ascend Church. We're so glad you're here. How wonderful to see your lovely faces this Sunday morning. Everybody looks so good, got all cleaned up, like you were coming to church or something. And welcome to those that are watching online. We're so glad that you joined us this morning. We're glad that you can take part. Wherever you're watching us, around the world, people watch from South Africa, from the Philippines, from other parts of Africa, all various places. It's very interesting, but we're glad that you joined us today. We pray that the Lord minister to you everything that it is that you need from the Word today by the Holy Spirit. If you're watching on Facebook, just let us know where you're watching from. If you have prayer requests, just let us know. We'll pray for you. Amen. Share the broadcast. Let somebody else be blessed this morning. The message is going to be one of encouragement. And we all need that, right? Amen. So good to see you in church. Especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. If you've never been to a service at our church, we're so glad that you're here. I'm taking a little look around. Is there anyone that's visiting for the first time today? Just wave your hand. I'm not sure if there's anyone for the first time, but I see people I haven't seen in a little while. Nice to see you. God bless you. That's been happening through the summer. Last week, there was a whole bunch of people that we haven't seen in a long time, and the week before that. So just know this. When you're not here, we miss you. We really miss you. And those that are watching, Ascend Church members, we miss you when you're not here. And we love to see your faces. So whenever you can, join us. Amen. And we're going to pass that clipboard by. Just let us know you're here. Pastor Steve keeps a good shepherd's eye on the flock, as you may know if you miss church. So it's all out of love. So just fill that in as it comes by. We thank you for doing that. I just want to, this is going to be an opportunity that we have to give into the kingdom of God. And as we do that, I like to read a scripture as I tell you. And, you know, we encourage ourselves in various aspects of the Christian life. And in the area of finances, or in the area of giving and tithing, we encourage ourselves. And how do we do it? We do it by the Word. We read what the Word says, and we take God at His Word. So the Bible says that's what we only the only way we receive anything is by faith. And what is faith? Faith is believing what God said and saying the same thing. That's basically it, right? And so when it comes to the area, if you believe in God for finances, and people are in various ways, maybe you have enough, but you believe in God for more in your business or whatever it is. Maybe you don't have enough and you believe in God. The Word works for all of us. Amen. And it works the same way. It works by faith. So I like to read something from the Word to encourage us as we give. And I'm going to give you five biblical facts about the tithe. in a moment they're going to pass the buckets by, and we thank the faithful people for giving. Thank you to those that are watching online. It's so simple for you to give. The various ways will come up on the screen. But I'm going to tell you the first biblical fact about tithing and giving is that it is worship. We've been talking about worship. We always think that's words coming out of our mouth. But the Bible says that, it says in Deuteronomy 26, verse 10, "And now, O Lord, I have brought you the first portion of the harvest that you have given me from the ground. Then place the produce before the Lord your God and bow to the ground in worship before him." So when we give, it is worship to God. It is it's an offering. It's a sacrifice. We heard last week that it comes up as a sweet-smelling fragrance to the Lord. The second fact is when we tithe and we bring offerings, it is God's way of meeting the needs of the local church, right? God's design, not a man's design, not a woman's design, God's design. It says in Malachi 3, verse 10, "I am the Lord all-powerful, and I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so that there will be food in my house." God says, this is the way I want the food to be in my house, is the faithful giving and tithing of my people. Amen? So that's the second point. You know, we're not, churches are not like gyms. We don't have memberships. We don't have, we don't charge you at the door. It's a free will offering, but this is God's design. Amen? Number three, when we tithe and give offerings, it is for your blessing. In Ezekiel 44, it says to cause a blessing to rest upon your house. I want that. How about you? I want a blessing rest upon my house. If anything in the Word says do this and a blessing will rest on your house, I'm doing that, right? I want it. And number four, it is for Satan to be rebuked and his curse to be broken. It says in Malachi, I'll carry on reading verse 11, he says, he bring the tithe, and then he says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts." That's the word of God to us. He says, I'll rebuke Satan. I'll. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't face challenges. It doesn't mean that the devil doesn't try to steal from us, but we can stand on that word. Right? We can stand on the word of God and we can say, and we do it all the time, "I'm a tither. I'm a tither. Satan cannot steal from me. I'm blessed. The blessing of God rests upon my household." Amen. And then lastly, when we tithe and bring offerings, it brings favor with people. In Malachi, reading on, give me that last verse, Malachi 3, verse 12, "And the nations will call you blessed." So there is some favor that rests on you that may be invisible to the naked eye, but people respond to it. You find favor in the workplace. You find favor in an interview. You find favor when you go for a job. Amen? You can claim that favor. When you're a tither, you can claim it. You can say, "I have the favor of God resting on me as I go into this." You don't have to be nervous or worried about it, but you say, "God goes with me. He promised. I'm a tither," right? And so as we go to give, remember that all of these things, one of them benefits God, and the rest of it is all to our benefit. It all to our benefit. So yes, he says, do this, but then the blessings that come after it are way more than what we do. Amen? Praise God. Well, as you get ready to give, we thank all the faithful tithers and givers. Thank you to those that give. We have people that give online when they're not here, and that's such a blessing to us. And you can go ahead and do that. As I said, they're all up on the screen. We have yet to change the slide to say Zelle with the same Ascend Church email. But that's like, other than giving in service, that's probably the best way. No fees whatsoever. So, praise God. Go ahead, ushers, and do that, and let me pray. Father, I thank you for each and every giver and each and every tither. Father, we take you at your word. We trust you. We trust you in the hard times. We trust you in the good times. We trust you when we have more than enough. We trust you when we don't see more than enough. And I thank you, Father, for each and every tither and giver, that the windows of heaven are open above them, that a blessing rests upon their house. We declare that they are amply supplied. They have more than enough. They are lacking nothing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. So ushers will go ahead, and as you're doing that, I just want to make two quick announcements while I'm up here. We've been clearing up upstairs, and we've been bringing down things that we're not going to be storing. And so in the last classroom, there's just a couple of tables filled with stuff, some folding chairs, what have you. If you want to just go take a look through there, help yourself to anything that's in there. It's gonna go one way or the other. So help yourself if you want to. Also, Deanne asked me to mention that they are holding a baby shower next Sunday after service for Natasha. Wave, Natasha. Having a baby shower directly after service just for the ladies. Please bring some food. Men, you can go and have lunch while the ladies are here, just to remind you about that. And then, Pastor, as you come, I remind you of the four main purposes of our church. The first one is that you would know God. Second of all is that you would find freedom. Thirdly, that you would discover your purpose. And lastly, that you would make a difference with your life. Amen? Amen. Looking smart today.
Thank you. I got dressed up today. I just felt like it. Maybe it's because we're watching this TV series called Suits, and I was inspired to put my suit on. This suit is about 15 years old. Everything I have is old. My shoes are about 16 years old. I just had it tailored, and so when I came to the Lord, we used to go to church wearing suits every Sunday. We got dressed up every Sunday. Right? We get dressed up in our suits. We don't do that anymore. Every now and then I feel like it. So tell your neighbor, you're looking good today. So on Friday, we closed on the sale of this building on Friday. It's closed. We have sold this building to Christ Fellowship Church. They bought the Jupiter Fitness, the gym that's next door to us. They bought that, and I believe that they'll only be opening that at the end of 2024, December 24. So they bought this building, and so we are moving. We are moving. We have four more weeks in this building, and beginning September, we are going to be over at the Maplewood Center. We're going to be sharing space with the Sanctuary Church. They're very kindly allowing us to share space with them. It's funny because we were in that space between 2004 and 2009. I'm the one who designed it out and built it out. And so anyway, that's at 401 Maplewood Drive. And it literally is about a mile away. It's right behind Home Depot. So if you go out of this parking lot and make a left, I think the second light is Home Depot, and you make a left there, and it's right behind it. So it's real, real close. We are going to be going to Saturday night service. So Saturday night at 6 p.m., starting September 2nd, will be our first service in the building. And the good thing about Saturday night is you get to sleep in on Sunday. Well, I'm kind of looking forward to it myself, because I'm a night person, so for me to have church at night is great. Sunday is always, you know, my early day. So you'll be able to sleep in on Sunday. We're gonna be having Saturday night at 6 p.m. starting from September 2nd. You know what I feel also? I feel like we should just give the devil a black eye. Give him a good punch in the mouth. How do you do that? Let's bring somebody on September 2nd and let's start out filling that building on the very first service. Sometimes something may look like a setback, but it's actually a set up for God to throw you forward. And I really believe the Lord is with us. He's guiding us. He's leading us. And I believe that God's in control. We're going to come out of this much better than we are right now. We're going to come out of this with a better building, and it's going to be debt-free or a very small mortgage. I'm believing God for debt-free. I'm believing God for debt-free. That's what I'm trusting God for. And so, praise God. Amen. God is good, right? And He is faithful. Well, as we're going to pray, get right into God's Word today. Lord, we thank You that You are so good. We thank You, Father, for Your mercy to us. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for sending Jesus to redeem us. We're so thankful, Lord, that You've brought us into Your family. We've been born again. You've given us Your Holy Spirit. You've given us Your Word. You've given us the name of Jesus. You've given us such mighty weapons, Lord. You've put Your favor around us. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. And today we thank You that You anoint Your Word, Father. Thank You that You give us revelation. You give us understanding. Lord, thank You that our faith rises up today, Lord, that we are encouraged today, Father. And we are filled with confidence today, knowing You are with us, Father. And if You are with us, if God be for us, then what can be against us, Lord? We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, David. Dave, you're a blessing to us. Amen. We are. So today I want to speak to you about encourage yourself. We all face discouragement. Everybody. It doesn't matter how successful you are. It doesn't matter how many victories you've had in the past. Sooner or later, you're going to have an opportunity to get discouraged. And unless you learn how to overcome discouragement, how to encourage yourself, it'll keep you from God's best. This is what happened to the Israelites when they were on their way to the promised land. God had delivered them from Egypt. If you find I'm a little dark on cameras, who's on the camera there? If you find I'm a little dark, does it look okay? Give me a thumbs up if it looks okay. Do I look dark on the camera? If I do, turn the screen slightly down because that's very bright. Feels like the sun behind me. The children of Israel were on their way to the promised land. God had delivered them from Egypt. And the scripture says in Numbers 21, verse 4, the people became very discouraged on the way. And the Amplified Version says they became impatient, depressed, much discouraged because of the trials of the way. And the dictionary, when I looked up the word discourage, and it says that this is how it defines the word discourage. It says that it means to deprive of courage or confidence, to deprive of hope or the will to proceed. It means to dissuade or deter from. The Bible says they were discouraged on the way. It didn't happen at once. Little by little, they got worn down. I mean, they'd seen God do great things in the past. They'd had great victories in the past. And yet, because of the trials, the difficulties that they were facing, they allowed discouragement. They didn't overcome that discouragement. And as a result, they never entered into their promised land. We are going to face the same type of situations. On the way to our destiny, there is going to be opposition. It may take longer than what you thought it would or you hoped it would. It may be more difficult than what, you know, you imagined. And it's easy to get discouraged and think, oh, this is never going to work out. I'm tired of, you know, believing for my child to turn around. I'm tired of these people treating me wrong. I'm tired of tithing, Pastor Steve. let me tell you, you got to realize that on the other side of that discouragement is a new level of your destiny. When you pass that test, there is always promotion. And if you are going to become everything God created you to be, then you got to dig your heels in and you got to have a determined attitude. I've come too far to stop now. It may be tough. It may be taking a long time. I may not understand it at all, but I know that my God is still on the throne, and what he promised me, it will come to pass in the name of Jesus. You got to have a made-up mind of resolve, no matter how long it takes, no matter what comes your way. You're in this for the long haul. You're not going to lose your passion. You're going to pass that discouragement test. You may be in a difficult season right now. You may have a lot of reasons to be discouraged. You may be facing financial challenges or maybe physical challenges, something in your body, some kind of a physical challenge. Maybe it's a relationship that's giving you trouble. It would be so easy to just settle and think, oh, well, forget it. This is never going to work out. This is never going to improve. Now, listen, God sent you here today because I want to breathe new life into your spirit. I want to be like a Titus to you. I want to speak encouragement to you today. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 7, chapter 7, verse 5, the Apostle Paul, he said, when we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction, with battles on the outside, fears on the inside, but God, who encourages those who are discouraged, encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. His presence was a joy, but so was the news he brought of the encouragement he received from you. And when he told us how much you long to see me and how sorry you are for what happened and how loyal you are to me, I was filled with joy. So the Apostle Paul said, Titus came and he encouraged me. And then he told about how you encouraged him. Do you know that's one of the reasons, that's one of the great things about being part of a church, because sometimes I'm going to encourage you and sometimes you're going to encourage me and we're going to encourage one another. That's why it's so important to be part of a local church, part of it. The Apostle Paul got discouraged, but Titus encouraged him. And I want to encourage you. The word encourage means to put courage into, to put confidence into, to put hope into. I pray you get filled with confidence and courage and hope, knowing that the Lord is with you no matter what you're going through. Man, I want you to be encouraged today. It's not over. God doesn't want us to ever be discouraged because he is always with us to help us, to strengthen us. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, the Word of God says, do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Tell your neighbor, don't be discouraged. Why? Why does God say don't be discouraged? For I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you and I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. God says you never have to be discouraged. Why? Because I'm always with you. I'm your God. I'm going to help you and I'm going to strengthen you. Don't be discouraged. The Lord is with you. He's there to help you. He's there to hold you up. If you'll just shake off that discouragement, shake off that self-pity, get a fresh vision for your life, then where you are is not where you're going to stay. It may be taking a long time, but let me tell you, you are closer than you realize. Your victory is already on the way. The Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 9, let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at just the right time, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. The Bible says if you don't give up, man, at just the right time, you're going to receive, reap a harvest of blessing. God's got it on the schedule for you. Like those Israelites, many of you, you're right next to your promised land. Your due season is right around the corner. That breakthrough, that dream coming to pass, meeting the right person, overcoming that obstacle, God's already put it on his schedule. He's already set the time and the date to make it happen. So now is not the time to get discouraged. Now, more than ever, is the time to be a believer and stay in faith. You may have gotten discouraged on the way, but the good news is you can be encouraged. David got discouraged in one of the darkest times of his life. David was anointed to be king when he was 15 years old. And when he was 17 years old, he defeated Goliath, the giant Goliath. And the king, Saul, made David the commander over all his army, 17 years old. But then Saul became jealous of David, and he tried to kill David. And David ended up having to run for his life and flee from Saul for 13 years. King Saul chased him, trying to kill him. But 600 men gathered around David, and they became David's mighty men. They were mighty warriors. One warrior could kill, I think it was 300, was it 400, 500? It was hundreds of men in a single battle, one of those warriors. See, because David, he continued to fight Israel's enemies, even though he wasn't king, even though Saul was trying to kill him. And David and his men made their home in a town called Ziklag. And one day they came home, and they found that their enemy, the Amalekites, had attacked their village. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 1, when David and his men came home to Ziklag, on the third day they found that the Amalekites had made a raid and had struck Ziklag and burned it with fire. They burned their village to the ground. And they had taken the woman and all who were there, both great and small, captive. They killed no one, but they carried them off and went on their way. They took their families, their wives, their children captive. So David and his men came to the town, and behold, it was burned, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the men with him lifted up their voices, and they wept until they had no more strength to weep. And David's two wives had also been taken captive. How do you say that name? Ahinoam and Abigail. And David was greatly distressed, for the men spoke of stoning him. Because the soul of them was bitterly grieved, each man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You got to know how to encourage and strengthen yourself in the Lord your God. You got to know how to do that. That's what I'm talking about today. Encourage yourself. You got to know how to do what David did and encourage yourself in the Lord. Because the moment David began to encourage himself in the Lord, he placed himself on a trajectory to turn his whole situation around, because God told him to go pursue the enemy and they would recover everything. And in 1 Samuel 30, down in verse 18, it says, so David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken, and he rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that had been taken. David recovered it all. Now, here's the amazing part to me. Are you ready for this? What David didn't know was that King Saul had been killed in battle. And in 72 hours, David would be anointed king. Now, think about this. In the darkest moment of his life, he was 72 hours from the throne. It may be dark in your life right now, but your greatest victory could be just around the corner. You got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we tell that story, but can you imagine what David went through? Imagine coming home, find your house burned down, your family taken captives. We think we have trouble. We get upset, we got a flat tire. Oh, Lord, the devil's attacking me. I'm going through hell. My AC went out. Oh, Lord. I mean, can you imagine what David felt? And here's what is so astounding to me about David, is in that time, when his men wanted to stone him, he encouraged himself in the Lord. You want to know why David was a man after God's heart? So I want to share with you how to encourage yourself, because I'm a how-to preacher. Don't tell me to do something without telling me how to. I'm going to tell you five ways to encourage yourself in the Lord. Number one, the first way to encourage yourself in the Lord is pray. Psalm 138, verse 3, as soon as I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me the strength I need. As soon as I pray, you encourage me and you give me the strength that I need. Say, as soon as I pray, Lord, you encourage me. You give me the strength I need. Let me tell you, David was a man of prayer. David said in Psalm 18, verse 6, in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for his help, and he heard me from his sanctuary. My cry reached his ears. The Bible says, call upon me, and I will answer you. In fact, the first thing David did when he discovered that his village had been burned down and his family, his wives and children had been taken captive, do you know what the first thing that he did was? First thing he did was prayed. 1 Samuel 30, verse 8. Then David prayed to God, shall I go after these raiders? Can I catch them? The answer came, go after them. Yes, you'll catch them. Yes, you will make the rescue. First thing David did, Lord, should I pursue them? Should I go after them? He inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, go. You're going to recover everything. Jesus spent a lot of time praying. He often slipped away to pray. Sometimes Jesus would pray all night long. Have you ever prayed all night long? How many people prayed all night long? Don't raise your hands. There'll be too few hands. You ever been to an all-night prayer meeting? Why did Jesus spend so much time praying? Why did Jesus, the Son of God, the man without sin, why did Jesus find it so necessary to continually draw aside and pray? Because that's where Jesus was encouraged. That's where Jesus was strengthened. That's where Jesus got direction. That's why he drew aside and prayed to the Father. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. God wants you to live this way, where you pray about everything, big things, small things, everything you pray, you bring it to God. Jesus said in John 16, 23, in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus is encouraging us to pray and to ask the Father for whatever you need. In Mark 11:24, Jesus said, Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Apostle Paul, he wrote in Philippians 4 verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Instead of worrying, pray about it. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace. The Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter 5, 7, he said, give all your worries and cares to God because He cares for you. So don't worry, pray. Give your worries to God. Ask Him for what you need. The Bible says the reason you don't have what you need is because you don't ask God for it. I find what really encourages me and strengthens me is praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. You will be encouraged and you will be built up as you pray in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4 says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who prays in tongues edifies himself. I can determine how much edification I want. The New Living Translation says, he who prays in tongues is strengthened personally. When you pray in tongues, you are strengthened. You are edified. In Jude 20, it said, you build yourselves up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, prayer can be one sentence, Lord, help me. Prayer could be that quick. Lord, please help me. Or prayer could be hours seeking the Lord. Sometimes my prayers are quick. Sometimes it's a quick prayer. Sometimes I seek the Lord and spend hours in prayer. But let me tell you that prayer is a key to being encouraged. Some people go see a therapist when they're feeling discouraged, and that's okay. But when I feel discouraged, I go pray in the Spirit. I go pray in tongues. Not because I feel like it, but because I know the power of it. Because it edifies, it strengthens me. It encourages me. Now, I believe in praying in tongues every day, but especially if I'm feeling discouraged. It's my go-to. My go-to is get down and pray in the Spirit when I don't know what to do. I don't see a way out. I pray in the Spirit and I rise up and I have this peace that comes over me. And I have this strength and I have this confidence. And I just know everything's going to work out. Because when I pray in the Spirit, God causes everything to work for my good. I want to really encourage you to pray in the Spirit. And pray, make prayer part of your life. Amen. Second way to encourage yourself is by meditating on the Word of God. In Romans 15 verse 4, it says, the Scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. And the Passion Bible says the Scriptures impart to us encouragement and inspiration so that we can live in hope and endure all things. Do you know that the Word of God will fill you with hope? The Word of God will fill you with courage. The Word of God will encourage you. David, he's the one who wrote Psalm 1, verse 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow evil men's advice, who do not hang around with sinners, scoffing at the things of God. Listen, don't hang around with people that scoff at the things of God. But they take delight in doing everything God wants them to do, and day and night are always meditating on His laws. Day and night are always meditating on His laws and thinking about ways to follow Him more closely. They are like trees along a riverbank bearing luscious fruit each season without fail. Their leaves never wither, and all that they do shall prosper. David also wrote in Psalm 119, in verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." I want to encourage you. You want to be encouraged? Read the Word of God. Read your Bible. Meditate on the promises in God's Word. Instead of meditating or worrying about your problems, rather meditate on what God says, because that will encourage you and that will build up your faith. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, faith comes by hearing God's Word. As you are listening to me today, your faith is being built. Your faith is being strengthened. You are being encouraged. Well, I want to encourage you to meditate and read the Word of God in your daily life. Because reading and hearing and meditating on God's Word is what builds and strengthens your faith. That's why, listen, go on. We've got a mobile app. It's free. You can watch all my sermons on the mobile app. You don't have to just watch me. Go on YouTube and watch your favorite preacher. Chilla. I hear Jill every morning listening to Kenneth Hagin. Now, Kenneth Hagin went home to be with the Lord a number of years ago, but we just love his ministry so much. And I hear listening to Kenneth Hagin, Jerry Savelle. This is what I'm telling you is what we do. I'm not just preaching the Word to you on Sunday. I'm meditating in the Word every day of the week. Listening to other preachers, reading my Bible. That's how I stay encouraged. And listen, watch people who build your faith. Don't watch anybody that discourages your faith. Not every preacher preaches faith, if you haven't discovered that yet. Some preachers you listen to, you'll come out having more doubt than you had faith. Make sure it's someone who's building your faith up. It's an important way to encourage yourself. And of course, you will be encouraged when you come to church, to this church. I can guarantee that. I will always preach God's uncompromised word, but it'll always be encouraging, and it'll always strengthen you, and it'll always build your faith. And also, when you come to church, we encourage one another at church. That's what the scripture says in Hebrews 10:25. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some people have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day drawing near. We come to church, and I want to encourage you with the Word of God, but we get encouraged in the worship. We get encouraged having a conversation. We get encouraged someone praying for us. This is a place of encouragement. Some of you, watching me on that camera, you are being discouraged because of the people that you're hanging around with. You need to hang around with believers who will encourage you. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Don't fool yourself. Bad friends will destroy you." Some people are discouraged simply because of the people they hang around. You hang around negative people, you're going to become negative. You hang around offended people, you're going to become offended. You hang around critical people, you're going to become critical. You hang around doubters, that doubt's going to get on you. You need to hang around believers that encourage you. That's why it's so important to be part of a church. Number three, third way to encourage yourself, speak the Word of God. It's good to meditate on the Word of God. It's essential. But you also have to speak the Word of God. Say what God says in His Word about you. Because when you say what God says, then you'll get what God promises. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, it says, "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. we also believe, and therefore we speak. Now, if you read that in the Living Bible, it says we boldly say what we believe, trusting God to care for us, just as the psalm writer did when he said, I believed, and therefore I spoke. So, Paul's quoting the psalm. Guess who the psalm writer was he's quoting? I'll give you three guesses. Who's the psalm writer that he's quoting? David. Yes, he's quoting David. David wrote in Psalm 116, verse 10, I believed, therefore I spoke. This is one way that David encouraged himself. He spoke out the word of God. He spoke out the promises of God. In fact, I love the Passion Translation of Psalm 116. It says, even when it seems I'm surrounded by many liars and my own fears, and though I'm hurting in my suffering and my trauma, I still stay faithful to God and speak words of faith. David said, man, doesn't matter what's going on around me. Maybe I'm hurting. Maybe I've got facing discouragement. I stay faithful to God and I keep on speaking words of faith. You've got to keep on speaking out what God says in His Word. You've got to declare it in faith over your life, because when you speak it over your life, that's what causes it to become a reality. And it's easy to speak positively when everything's going good, but it's even more important to speak words of faith when you're facing tough times. We've got to speak faith no matter what. Some of you are not speaking enough victory over your life. I want you to get this today. You wonder why you're not having more good breaks, why the situation's not turning around. Are you speaking words of faith every day? Do you get up every morning and declare boldly with your mouth, I am blessed, I'm walking in divine health, the Lord is protecting me, God's favor is opening doors for me, my God supplies all my needs, the Lord's directing my steps, I will fulfill my destiny. Do you declare what God says in His Word? Greater is He who is in me than he that is in the world. Maybe you say, Pastor Steve, I'd love to do that, but I got this sickness and I just haven't been feeling well, and I just believe in telling it like it is. Well, I'm not saying you should deny the facts. I'm just saying get in agreement with what God says. Because God says in Joel 3 verse 10, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. He didn't say, let the weak talk about the weakness. No, don't speak out those discouraging thoughts that come to your mind. Jesus said, you will have what you say. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. He didn't say speak about the mountain. He said talk to the mountain and the mountain will be moved. Amen. We're not supposed to talk about the way that it is. We're supposed to speak the desired result. We're supposed to get in agreement with God and say what God says. And He says in Romans 8:37, in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all, for God has made us to be more than a conqueror. Now, you see, God says you're more than a conqueror. So you've got to say, I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Now you're saying what God says. If God says I'm more than a conqueror, I may not feel like it. It may not look like it. But if God says it, I'm going to agree with Him. And I'm going to say, I am more than a conqueror. You may be struggling financially, but God said in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. David said in Psalm 23, verse 1, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. You need to declare that. My God supplies all my needs. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. I'm blessed by God. I have more than enough. I'm a tither. The winners of heaven, they're open above me. You need to get in agreement and speak victory. Speak the word of God over your life, because that will encourage you. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Do you know that your words produce fruit in your life? The contemporary English version says contemporary English version says words can bring death or life, and you will eat everything you say. You ever heard that saying? You're going to eat your words. You're going to eat your words. That's literally true. Your words produce results in your life. Your words have the power of life or death, blessing or cursing. Your words have consequences. They produce results in your life. And it's our choice. Whether we have life or blessing or death and cursing depends on what words we choose to speak. We can either speak words of life or we can speak words of death. We can speak words of blessing or we can speak words of cursing. I encourage you to speak words of life. No matter what's going on, still speak words of faith. Speak what God says about you. Amen? Because your words have creative power. Some people are speaking death and defeat and cursing over their life. They say things like, oh, the economy's so bad, inflation's so high, price of gas so high, I just can't afford it, I don't know how I'm going to make it. You just cursed yourself. Now, I understand you may be facing a challenge, but if you want, you want to make sure you speak life and blessing and don't curse yourself with your words if you want that situation to turn around. Don't call in defeat, call in victory. Amen. You've got to guard your words, because your words can either deliver you or your words can trap you. Your words, you can either bless your future or curse your future. You may be facing some problems. It may look like it's never going to change, but you've got to send your words out in the direction you want your life to go. Instead of complaining, oh, it's going to be a bad, lousy day. I can just tell. I just never seem to get ahead. Nothing ever seems to go my way. I tell you what, nothing good ever seems to happen to me. No, don't use your words to describe the situation. Use your words to change the situation. Dare to make a declaration of faith and say, hey, this is going to be a great day. I have the favor of God around me. He's directing my steps. Whatever I touch is going to prosper and succeed. The Lord is with me. If God's for me, who can be against me? In fact, I would encourage you to make daily confessions over your life. Now, on our app, on our mobile app, if you go into the Apple App Store and look for Ascend Church Jupiter, download the free app. Not only do we have all our sermons on video, but I have a number of faith confessions on there for all different kinds of areas of your life. And you can go on there and download that and begin to speak those. Make daily confessions. You need to be confessing and declaring the word of God daily over your life. And watch what happens. Can you say amen? Number four, how do you encourage yourself? By giving praise to God. Isaiah 61 verse 3 says, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The Bible says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You see, praise removes heaviness. Praise removes discouragement. You cannot stay discouraged when you praise God. Praise puts your focus on the Lord instead of on the problem. And from what we know of David's life, it's easy to imagine how he encouraged himself when he saw his village burned down and his wife taken captive and his children, and encouraged them. It's easy to imagine. He took his harp. He went to a solitary place. He began to sing and worship God. No doubt he didn't feel like singing, but he did it anyway. Because David said in Psalm 71 in verse 14, no matter what, I'll trust in you to help me. Nothing will stop me from praising you to magnify your glory. I couldn't begin to count the times you've been there for me. I'll never run out of things to say of how you faithfully kept me from danger. I will come forth in your mighty strength. Think about that. David said, nothing is going to stop me from trusting you and praising you every day of my life. I will come forth in your mighty strength. David knew the power of praise. Maybe David sang Psalm 34 verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The Living Bible says, I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will constantly speak of His glories and grace. I will bless the Lord at all times. That means good times. That means bad times. Even on the worst day of your life, God is worthy of praise. David sang praises to God on the ashes of Ziklag. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth, no matter what happens. I read that verse every day. Every day. Lord, I will praise you no matter what. No matter what. Verse 2, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Magnify the Lord. The Passion Bible says it like this, I'm boasting of you and all your works. So let all who are discouraged take heart. Join me, everyone. Let's praise the Lord together. David said, are you feeling discouraged? Join with me. Let's praise Him and let's magnify Him together. See, the word magnify means to enlarge. It means to make bigger in perspective. When you magnify a small object with a magnifying glass, you don't change its reality. You don't make that object any bigger. What you change is your perception of that object. See, you can't make God any bigger than He already is, but you can magnify or diminish your perspective of God. You can magnify God and talk about how great He is, or you can magnify your problems and troubles and talk about how great they are. Your perspective has got everything to do with whether you are encouraged or whether you are discouraged. I tell you right now, no matter what is happening, I refuse to magnify the devil. I refuse to magnify my difficulties. Let me tell you, I'm not going to analyze my troubles with a magnifying glass. That just leads to discouragement. Instead, I'm going to magnify the Lord. I'm going to speak of His greatness, His power, His might. I'm going to talk about how big my God is and how powerful He is and how faithful He is. Because when you make God bigger, you make your trouble smaller. Through worship, David changed his focus. Instead of magnifying his trouble, he magnified the Lord. Praising God is the path to encouragement. Say, praising God is the path to encouragement. Because when praise is in your mouth, there can be no grumbling, no complaining, no negative speaking. Praise is the language of faith. If you want to strengthen your faith, begin to praise God. Praise is a mighty weapon. The scripture says in Psalm 149, verse 6, God's high and holy praises fill their mouths, for their shouted praises are their weapons of war. This is a weapon God has given you. When you begin to praise Him, God responds. Paul and Silas, they did the same thing 1,000 years later. They'd been arrested for doing a good deed. They cast a spirit of divination out of a young girl. And as a result, they were arrested. They were beaten with rods. They were imprisoned in the dungeon. Their feet were in stocks. Their backs were bleeding. How did they respond? In the most amazing way, at midnight, in the darkest hour, instead of despairing and crying and moaning and wailing, they begin to give praise unto God. The Bible says in Acts 16, Paul and Silas, undaunted, they prayed in the middle of the night and they sang songs of praise to God while all the other prisoners listened to their worship. Suddenly, a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison, and all at once, every prison door flung open wide and the chains of all the prisoners came loose. They sang praises to God. They chose to encourage themselves by praising God. And God responded to their amazing faith by supernaturally delivering them. Paul and Silas were simply following the tradition that David pioneered when he encouraged himself with songs of praise. I encourage you, man, you know, just put on worship songs. Just listen to worship. It'll change the whole atmosphere. In your car, you just put on that worship. At home, I got a speaker in my bathroom. I can connect my phone to my bathroom. I got a speaker in my office. I can connect it to the I got in the TV. I can connect my to all my worship. I can listen in any room in the house. And I just put on that worship and I just begin to sing along. You are holy forever, Lord. You are holy, Lord. I just begin to sing those songs, and you always feel encouraged. Why? Because Psalm 22, verse 3 says, "You are holy, Lord, who inhabitest the praises of Israel." You live among the shouts of praise of your people. You see, when you begin to praise God, God shows up. Praise brings His presence, and in His presence is fullness of joy. When you praise God, you can't stay discouraged. You're going to be encouraged. Come on, clap your hands if you agree with that. That's why I encourage you, man. That's why I encourage you. Don't miss any of the worship. Be there from the very beginning and sing with all your heart. Can I tell you something? Worship does much more for us than it does for God. Your worship doesn't change who God is, but it changes you. Finally, how do you encourage yourself? Remember what God has done in the past. David said in Psalm 77, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds." So when you're in a tough time, you facing discouragement, you don't see a way out, instead of being negative and discouraged, remember what God has done for you in the past. Remember how God protected you. Remember how God promoted you. Remember how God provided for you. Remember how God healed you. And faith will begin to rise up in your heart. And instead of thinking, "I'll never get out of this problem," you'll begin to declare, "If God did it for me before, then He's going to do it for me again. He made a way in the past, and He's going to do it again." When you come through this challenge, that victory will be the fuel that you use to get you through the next challenge. When the Israelites got discouraged along the way because of the difficulties they faced on their way to the promised land, look what God told them in Deuteronomy chapter 7. He said, "Perhaps you will think to yourselves, how can we ever conquer these nations that are so much more powerful than we are? But don't be afraid of them. Just remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all the land of Egypt. You saw it with your own eyes. Remember the miraculous signs and wonders and the amazing power He used when He brought you out of Egypt. The Lord your God will use the same power against all the people you fear." When it looks impossible, when you don't see a way out, the way to stay encouraged, the way to keep your hopes up is remember what the Lord has done for you in the past. Amen. 2 years ago, Jill and I, we sold our home. We'd lived there for about almost 20 years. And the kids had moved out, and it was just the two of us. And we'd wanted to sell, but the market just was just on fire. And so we thought, this is a good time to sell. So we sold our home, and we got a cash buyer. And it was supposed to be a quick closing. But then just like the day before the inspection period was up, the buyer unexpectedly, without any explanation, canceled the sale. Now, we'd already found a condo we wanted to downsize, and we found a condo. It'd always been my dream to live with a view of the water. And I didn't know how that was going to happen, but we found this amazing deal, and the owner had passed away, and his children were trying to sell it. And anyway, we just got a great price on it, and we were like, 3 days after it went on the market, we put down the offer, and we were so excited. Now, when our sale fell through on our house, we thought, oh, gosh, they're not going to hold the condo. I mean, at that time, people were closing real fast and paying cash and paying above what people were asking. And so, you know, we had to put our house back on the market, back up for sale. And we asked the seller on the condo if they would give us an extension. And they gave us 2 more weeks to get a new buyer for our house. And the deadline was coming up. And I felt discouragement trying to come on me. And suddenly the Lord reminded me of a past victory. In 1991, when the Lord spoke to us to go and start a church in Cape Town, we were living in Johannesburg, South Africa, where we grew up, and the Lord called us to Cape Town. And so we listed our house with a realtor in the church. We listed our house for sale, and he didn't bring not one person to see our house for 6 months. He had an exclusive listing. My wife's helping me here. He had an exclusive listing, and he never brought anyone for 6 months. Meanwhile, we'd gone to Cape Town. We'd signed contracts to rent space for the church. We'd signed a lease to rent a home. We'd paid deposits. We'd enrolled our kids in schools. We were supposed to be leaving for Cape Town in 10 days, and we hadn't sold our home. And we were depending on the funds from the sale of our house because it was going to help us with starting the church. We were going to donate that money to the church. And we just kept on believing God. And we kept on declaring our house is sold. And Jill's dad, he's passed since then, but Jill's dad, every time I saw him, he'd ask me, "Have you sold the house? What are you going to do if it doesn't sell? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?" And how many of you know the devil all night? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I got no idea. I refuse. I don't speak it out. I don't think we're going to sell this house, Jewel. I don't know what we're with. I never said that. I just kept thanking God and trusting God. On the day we had a farewell party, 10 days before we'd leave to go to Cape Town, that day we got a cash buyer, and he needed to be in the house in 7 days. Now, when the Lord reminded me of that, faith began to rise up. And I thought, Lord, you did it before. You'll do it again. And God did. We got another buyer on our sale of our home here. And the seller of our condo waited 5 months for us to close. And can I tell you, we love our condo. We love our view. The Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. Remember those past victories. Every one of you has seen with your own eyes times where God made a way. Go back and replay those victories. That's how you encourage yourself in the Lord. You encourage yourself by praying. You encourage yourself by meditating on God's word. You encourage yourself by speaking God's word. You encourage yourself by praising God. And you encourage yourself by remembering what the Lord has done. If you've struggled with discouragement, I want to speak words of faith over you today. I declare in the name of Jesus, that spirit of discouragement is broken off of your life. I declare the spirit of heaviness and depression is broken off for you, off of your family, off of your future. It will have no more effect on you. I speak courage to you. I speak strength to you. I speak hope to you. I declare the Lord is your helper. There is nothing that is too hard for him, and breakthroughs and victories are headed your way. Be encouraged, because you are closer than what you realize. You're about to reap that harvest of blessing at just the right time, in Jesus' name. If you believe it, shout amen, somebody. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. Put your hands together. Let God hear it today. I am encouraged in the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I know how to encourage myself. Now I know how to encourage myself. Amen. These are principles, truths that we have put into practice in our lives for the last 40 years. And God is faithful. Amen. You get something out of this today? Praise the Lord. Well, stand up with me. We're going to close in prayer. Let me just mention to you that every Thursday night we have our weekly prayer meeting at 7 p.m. We have an amazing time. We have you want to know how you want to be encouraged? Come to pray on Thursday night. Come to pray on Thursday night. We have an awesome time in God's presence. Come join us. And we have youth today, right? Today, 5 p.m., Ascend Youth is meeting. They're back today at 5 with Abel and Michelle leading them. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Tell them you are an encouragement to me. Amen. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we never have to be discouraged because we know, Lord, that you are always with us. You always are there to help us. You always are there to strengthen us. You are the faithful God that when we call upon you, you will answer us. We thank you, Father, that you're guiding us and directing us and leading us. You're providing for us. You're protecting us. You're keeping us healthy and strong. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your favor, for your goodness, for your faithfulness. Lord, we determine today we will not allow discouragement to take hold of our hearts or our mind, but we will encourage ourselves in the Lord because we know, Father, that there is nothing that is too hard for you. We know that you're the God of restoration. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of breakthroughs. And we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Have an awesome week. We've got 3 more weeks in this building. September 2nd, Saturday at 6 p.m. we'll be in our new location. Think about who you're going to bring. I want to see that place filled up our first Saturday. I want to give the devil a black eye in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time, next week. The world.